Good morning. Greetings in Christ's name. Glad for each one's presence today as we continue to look into God's Word and see what He has for us. You can turn with me to Romans chapter 13 for a text verse this morning. Two verses here. Romans chapter 13. To read verses 13 and 14. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. The title for the message this morning is the first four words of verse 13. It says, let us walk honestly. Now, there are a lot of directions I guess we could go with this, or maybe better said, there would be a lot of things that could be said about this. We'll not nearly touch everything that could be said about walking honestly, but the goal for the message is, I guess, to remind us, the burden I have, is to remind us again of the value and the importance that God puts on honesty. And taking into consideration what it says in verse 14 here then, the value of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provisions for the flesh. In the world within which we live today, the things that we face, I believe that God's people are put to the test in this thing of living, of walking honestly. And I've just been challenged with that in my own life, in my daily walk of life. Am I living in an honest way? And finally, am I putting on the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's, I guess, what I'd somehow like to like for us to think about, like to portray the importance of this through this message. Tests in honesty come in many different ways, and we'll look at some of those different ways. Again, we won't be able to touch near on everything, but there is, my mind goes to numerous places. There's honesty in speech. There's honesty in our actions. Honesty with how we feel about ourselves. How we look at ourselves. Honest with our fellow men. Honest with God. As we ponder the thought of honesty, where in Scripture do we first find the thought of honesty? Where do we first see dishonesty begin to rise up? I believe we can go right back to the fall of man, and we see it very clearly there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, where the Lord God comes walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and God calls out to Adam, Adam, where art thou? We know the story. God asked Adam if he had eaten of the tree, and what was Adam's response? Oh no, it was the woman. It was her fault. She gave it to me. What was Eve's fault? What was Eve's response? Well, it's the serpent's fault. The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Well, shifting the blame is certainly a form of dishonesty. My mind also went to the Ten Commandments, where the Lord addressed a number of things and writing on stone there, giving it to Moses. God told Moses what to write on that stone. In Exodus 20, verse 16 it is, I believe. We won't turn to that. But it says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Back a verse, I believe it was, where it talked about, thou shalt not steal. God saw it as serious enough of an issue that he addressed it in his commandments to the children of Israel about this thing of being on us. So we have it clear in the beginning, very shortly after the beginning of time. Then my mind also went to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, the last chapter. Again, I believe it was in verse 15. I jotted the verse down here. It says, "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and adulterers and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." It's those individuals that shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So we can clearly see this thought of honesty woven, and we'll see more in Scripture, but we clearly see it woven throughout all of Scripture. I believe it is a serious issue. It is a issue of the heart, one of the issues of the heart. We must be careful in this. We must be careful to keep our heart with all diligence. Diligence is what it takes to maintain this thing of honesty. It takes effort. At least on my part it does, and I believe we would all admit that's where we find it. It takes a continual effort. John 8, verse 44, I'm just referring to a number of verses here at the beginning, but John 8, verse 44, I believe it is, where it says that the devil, Satan, is the father of all lies. He is a liar and the father of it. So we can also say that the devil is the father of all dishonesty. And I'd just like to impress upon our minds that man in his own strength cannot rise to the level of honesty that God wants us to be at. In our own strength, we do not have the power to rise to the level of honesty that God would have for us to be. It is only by the power of God, in our experience, it is only through the new birth experience. If that has not taken place in our heart, in our life, it's a failure right from the start. We will not be able to live this honest life. It's by the new birth and having the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives to direct us and help us along in this, that we can be honest like God would have us to be. Proverbs has a lot to say about honesty and dishonesty. Let's just turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Read verses 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. God hates dishonesty. And he will not accept it at all, period. It's a serious thought. Anyone who is dishonest, loving and making a lie, if it is not taken care of, if it is not confessed, will not enter heaven. God hates it. Honesty is truthfulness. Honesty is lack of pretense. Honesty is lack of deceit. It's open. I don't know how else to explain it. Just simply honest. Well, I'd like to turn now to a number of different scriptures in the New Testament to lay a bit more of a foundation for our thoughts. Then I want to divide the remainder of the message into three parts. We'll be looking at honesty with and about ourselves. We'll be looking at honesty with God and honesty with our fellow men. But first of all, turning to a few scriptures, let's turn to Romans chapter 12. We began in Romans 13, but let's look at Romans chapter 12. Just a number of verses, simple commands, But laying a bit of groundwork to what we're talking about here. Romans chapter 12, verse 17 says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." We simply have a command here. Now let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 2 says, But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Turn over a few chapters to 2 Corinthians 8. Verse 21. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Now let's turn back to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And read verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Let's turn to one more. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And we could turn to many other scriptures, but like I mentioned already, honesty is mentioned throughout the New Testament. I believe that honesty is one of the basic convictions that we must have. We need to establish a conviction in our experience that no matter what, I will be honest. It always pays to be honest. Certainly we recognize that there's always a reaping if it is otherwise. There is a reaping if we are not honest, a harvest that none of us want to reap. Again, as I mentioned, it does take work. It takes effort. It takes a cultivation. So now going into the first part, just some aspects now that we want to look at. I already mentioned the three main aspects I want to think about. But the first one is honesty with and about ourselves. Honesty with and about ourselves. How do we do that? Well, turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. We have the aspect of pride in the verse here, I believe, that we want to look at. Or dishonesty. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 3, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." For when a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. We're talking about honesty with and about ourselves. I believe we could take that verse that we just read, and without any discredit to Scripture, we could turn that around and read it this way: "For if a man think himself to be nothing, when he is something, he deceiveth himself." I believe that is also something that can take place, something that can happen. You know, we come up with some fancy names, and I'm going to give this one. I believe we call this inferiority complex. My mind goes to King Saul. Remember how when he was made king there in 1 Samuel 10, Samuel came and he couldn't find him. He came and went. They were trying to figure out who this was that was going to be king. And he came to the house of, now it left my mind, who was his father? Anyway, he came to the house and Saul, it fell to Saul, and Saul wasn't there. Samuel couldn't find him, and Samuel asked the Lord about this. In verse 22, I believe it is, of 1 Samuel 10, the Lord says, "He hath hid himself among the stuff." Well, I believe Saul was trying to be humble, maybe. Not sure what all he had in his mind there, but he was at least trying to be humble, possibly. Later on then in Saul's life, there came a time that Samuel came to him in, I believe it's not too many chapters farther, in 1 Samuel 15. And Samuel said this, speaking to Saul, and Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel." Well, I believe in both of these times. I guess this is just some of my thoughts here, that I wonder if in both of these times that Saul was not really being honest with himself, even in hiding himself among the stuff. He really was not humble there at that time that he was anointed king. If he would have had the humility that he should have had, it seems like he would have been there in a humble way. And then humility possibly would have carried him through to the point that we see him in chapter 15, where he disobeyed God. It simply was a lack of humility, and he deceived himself. I believe too many times we find ourselves in that kind of thing, where we're bouncing back and forth in the name of humility. We bounce back and forth from self-degradation to self-exaltation. And we really are not honest with ourselves, going from one to the other, bouncing back and forth. Instead of humility, really, it's pride. Comes right down to pride. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me..." Well, I don't have all of that written there. Let's just turn to that. Romans chapter 12. Should be able to just recite that by heart. But Romans chapter 12, verse 3. "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." We have the word soberly there. And a lot could come under that category. Just a few things that I thought about. We could say justly. We could say rightly. But to think soberly. We could say think correctly, honestly. Not to think more highly and not to think lower, but think correctly. Then he goes on to say, "According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." There's a lot in those words. According to God, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. That I see is equality. We're all under the same plane. Let's turn now to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5. "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." As we reflect on this idea of being honest with or about ourselves, we need to come to grips with the fact that God, not sure how to say this here, God did not accept us on the basis of what he thought we were going to to turn out to be, but rather he accepted us just as we were after that we had repented and come to him. God is satisfied as long as we stay in that repentant state and allow him to work and rule in our lives. God loves us just that way. I believe that a lot of people struggle with not being honest about themselves. We try to be something or someone different than we really are. We need to come to grip with the fact that God accepts us as we are. Now, I do want to quickly say that I'm not making excuses for anything that is not the way it should be, for areas that there needs to be more growth or more strengthening or more cultivation. Certainly we continue to need that in our lives in this line of honesty and other things. God would have us to be drawn closer to him, but God accepts us as we are in the fact that we come before him in repentance, and if we continue to be that way, God will accept us. I like the way the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, kind of sums up my thoughts on this. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul speaking here. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. I believe that verse sums up my thoughts there. Well, we need to move on. The next aspect that I want to consider is honesty before God. Remember the verse we read about an honest and an open heart? Hebrews tells us the aspect of faith must be that. We must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I believe we could put in the words openly or honestly. I believe we could put that in there as well. I believe that is an it is an expression of our faith. Simply open and honest before God. That is very closely related to honest with ourselves. Simply honest before God of the failures and the weaknesses in our experience. No reserves, no excuses, no covering up, no closed doors to certain areas of our heart. Nothing. Simply honest before God, confessing to him. He knows it anyway. We can't hide it. God wants us to be honest with him. He is honored by that when we can openly and honestly come to him and express ourselves before him. He wants us to do that. He wants us to come to him in that way. Honest and open thankfulness to all that God is in our experience. Simply giving him all the recognition, all the credit, and all the glory for all that he is in our experience and all that he has done and will continue to do. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves, but it is of God. And we really should openly and honestly thank him for that. Then we also read that verse in 2 Corinthians 4 about not handling the word of God deceitfully, where it says, not walking in craftiness, the hidden things of dishonesty and the manifestation of truth in our lives. Simply honest as we open our Bibles and allow him to speak to us. Nothing in the way. Again, nothing hid. No blocks, no locked doors. That is how God wants you and I to come before him. No excuses for anything. And you know what? It takes humility for that to happen. When we are humble before him, then we also can be then we can be honest. The last aspect I wanted to think about is honesty before men. And there's a lot that could be said here. But I'm convinced this morning, if we are really honest with ourselves, and we're honest about ourselves, and if we are honest before God, we're open. If those things are a part of our experience, then guess what? We also will be honest before men. Yet I'm sure that we recognize that it continually needs to be cultivated and maintained, where there's honesty in word, where there's honesty in our daily actions, honesty in the appearance of things. We could turn to many scriptures that talk about speaking honestly. Scripture talks about speaking that which is pure. We read that verse close to the beginning. That which is true. Correctness. Exactness. Lack of exaggeration. Not stretching of stories or accounts to make impressions. Just some practical things here. No white lies, as some people call them. No false accusation, which is directly connected, I believe, with false imagination. Carefulness in our speech. Carefulness to avoid gossip, which often ends up far from the truth and far from facts. James 5, verse 12, the last part of it says, "But let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation." So remember, we will give an account for the words that we speak. It is something we continually need to work on. I have to work with it. You know, it's so easy to exaggerate that story, to make it funny or to make it impressive. Let's remember, keep it true. God wants us to be that way. And when we are that way, there are blessings. Another part of speaking honestly is to speak the truth in love. Again, referring to a verse in Ephesians chapter 4, I believe it is. It says, "But speaking the truth in love." There are times that we are dishonest by not speaking at all, by giving the silent treatment. There are times when silence gives consent or silence approves. I believe it's an aspect where we need to be careful. I think in these times it's better to speak, but to speak the truth in love. Proverbs 27, verse 5 says, "Open rebuke is better than secret love." And then I believe it's in the next verse. It says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Simply speaking the truth when it is necessary and to speak it in love is important. But let's be careful in all of our words that they are correct and that they are in love. Let's think now just for a bit about honest before men in our deeds, in our actions. Again, Proverbs 11, verse 1 says, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." It simply means good measure. There are other scriptures in Proverbs that we could turn to that speak of the same thing. But good measure in our time. And again, there's many things that we could put into this category. But if you are an employee or I am an employee and I'm paid by the hour, do I give the one that I'm working for a good hard work for the wage I'm receiving? That's honesty. Anything purposely not that way is dishonest. Is that being too hard? I don't think so. It is good measure in time, good measure in material, good measure in workmanship, good measure in everything that we do. Yes, we do need to make a profit if we are buying and selling things. I understand that. But we're talking of a fair price. I believe overcharging is dishonest. I also believe that driving a hard bargain, you know, sometimes I wonder if we're not caught up in that too much, but I believe that driving a hard bargain and business deals that have to be to our advantage every time sometimes can be dishonest before God. Remember that a good deal is a two-way good deal. I think we forget that sometimes. We're concerned that it's a good deal for ourselves, and we tend to forget about the good deal for the other person. But I believe that the man we are dealing with should be receiving a fair deal as well. You know, if anyone has to come short, I believe that as a Christian, it should be us. Maybe we think that we sure can't do business that way very long. But, you know, I believe that God will take care of us in that. He will raise us up. Let's make sure that our end, that on our end, it is always honest. Satan would draw us down in this, but let's remember, with God's help, through his blood, we can be honest, just the way he wants us to be. Quickly yet, I would like to look at some blessings in honesty. It's the last part here, a few thoughts yet. Some blessings in honesty. Proverbs 10, verse 7 says, "The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot." And this may not connect totally, but I like the thought. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. We can say that the memory of the honest man is blessed. And an honest man goes to bed at night and thinks, as he goes to bed at night and thinks back over the day, he can go to sleep with a clear conscience. And what a blessing. What a blessing we have in that. Proverbs 14, verse 25. And I don't have all of this verse written down, but Proverbs 14, verse 25 says, "A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies." A true witness delivereth souls. There is a blessing about simply being honest. I'm not sure that I can totally explain this, but there's something about an honest man that is a help to other people. It's a tremendous testimony when that is seen, and I believe it really can get to the point of helping to lead individuals to Christ. In other words, delivering souls. He is to help others, and he is an encouragement to others to be honest as well, and he can deliver the souls of others in that way. Proverbs 16, verse 7, When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. There's something about honesty and humility that has peacemaking qualities. When they see, when there's just a genuine, honest person, it's pretty hard to not be at peace with that person. There is peacemaking qualities in that, and certainly that is a blessing. Even his enemies can come to rest, can come to peace in that. The blessing that I believe we need to hold before our eyes as we think of this thing of honesty, as we bear the fruit of honesty in our experience, under the blood of Christ, we can rest in the assurance that we can enter into the pearly gates of heaven. As that's finally the ultimate blessing that we can receive as we are honest before God, as we are honest before men, as we are honest with ourselves, that under the blood we can rest in the assurance that finally we can enter into heaven. There will be nothing to keep us out. Nothing will stand in the way. So I'd like to just challenge us this morning and encourage us, myself first of all, to be honest, to be challenged in this thing of honesty. May God help us to cultivate and strengthen this day by day as we go through life. Again, as I mentioned earlier, it's something that the devil would desire to drag us down in this and make us believe that it's not a big issue. But to God it is. To God it is a serious thought, and may we keep that in mind as we go through life. Let's kneel for prayer.